It's okay if you aren't ready for kids right now. It's okay if you don't want to be a mom now or even ever. It's nobody's decision but yours. But do you know what's not okay? Not knowing how effective your birth control is. Talk to your doctor about effective birth control options so you can make an informed decision. Tap to learn more.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan.
Yep.
I have something I want to say.
What up?
If you're a regular listener to K100, you've heard us talk about our friends at Legacy Sports Nutrition. Now, Nick Aldis may be on probation indefinitely, but he knows what he's doing when it comes to supplements, and you, our faithful K100 fan, have been proving it time and time again. In fact, Nick and his wife, Mickey James, were at WrestleCon in LA over WrestleMania weekend, and they met several K100 listeners who are now loyal LegacySubs.com customers as well, including this shout out here to Jay Baca, who was finally able to meet Nick in person and tell him that since he started using Legacy products about 1 year ago, he's lost over 50 pounds and over 10 inches from his waist. Jay was so excited to share his progress, he even bought his Legacy products with him to show Nick, and you can see those pictures at the LegacySubs.com Instagram page. Jay is currently using Absolute Men's Wellness Formula, MCT Oil Caps, and Ultimate Test Stack. We want to take a moment to give a shout out to Jay and huge congrats on your awesome progress, and shout out to Nick Aldis and Legacy Sports Nutrition for these amazing results. If you want to transform your body just like Jay, go to LegacySubs.com now and always use the code K100. That's K100. It's the most used code on the site ever. That's a testimony to our listeners. For 10% off your entire order and show your love and support for the show, level up with LegacySupps.com. Legacy Subs.
Yo, go check it out. They got pre-workout stuff. They got stuff to help you improve your memory. They got stuff for recuperation after workouts. What do you use, Joe?
Much like Jay, I also use the Ultimate Test Stack. I've been using that for a few months, and it's really helped when I do the fight camp workouts with energy and recovery, and also, of course, the recovery PM, as we all know, helps you sleep a lot better and you wake up very refreshed. So been recommending this for a long time, and I still do. I mean, it's very, very helpful stuff. It'll make you feel better.
We all use it. It's very effective. There's a reason why they've stayed with us. Our listeners have been buying it, and Jay Baca's proof of its effectiveness. So get healthy, stay healthy with Legacy Subs. Boom.
I think you could make a case that of all the podcasts out there, and if you look at all the fan bases of all the podcasts, that our fan base might be the most physically fit of all the podcasts. Because if Nick is selling it, like, we're the number one sellers of his products, you would think they're... I mean, you see what wrestling fans look like generally, right, Conan? I mean, that's right. Kind of like, yeah. So we're helping... We're improving the lives of our listeners one day at a time.
And
what
I
do you think
they appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Okay, so let's go to the mailbag. First one's from J12, right. And the subject is Omos. Greetings, Homo sapiens.
Oh,
who would you book for almost a feud after Rollins, and how do you see his career going this year? With two belts, will he be a champ sooner than later? Thanks for all the entertainment. Arriba La Raza, this J12 from Parts Unknown. I don't know who. I mean, Omos is in a... His match with Rollins wasn't bad at all, because like Rollins worked his ass off.
Yeah,
big
Seth can,
here, you know, so, yeah, it's a Seth.
He can kill it with anybody.
Right. I don't know. I'm not interested. I'm still not interested in this guy yet. I mean, he's still in a guy that tried to get over as a killer, but he's losing too much. And it's just, I don't know, you know.
So, as you know, I haven't liked Omos since I first saw him because I knew he was green and he would be pushed. And nothing against that, because I would push him too.
Right.
But I knew we were going to have to go through the growing pains with him, and that can take a while. But, hey, you can say Seth carried him, but it takes two to tangle, you know. He looks good here.
Yeah.
So the potential is there. I would, you know what I would do? I would put him against that fucking new Indian faction. Remember I said they should put them together? And they actually did. I would put him against the Indian faction, but don't bury the Indians, you know, because I think the Indians could be good heels. Keep them both strong in this feud, or maybe you could put them against Braun Strowman, but I would keep them both strong also.
You could actually, you know what? Let's be honest here. And then this might get the kid over, you know? And this would be like good thing because, like, you know, MVP is with him and stuff and thing. What if this guy does something to, like, one of the heels, like a guy in a heel faction? And we do the old school thing. It's like somebody literally puts a bounty on this guy's head.
Right.
Like, why don't we get rid of Omos? And literally a whole faction would have to sign up to get rid of. Remember, what's the old Clint Eastwood movie? The Every Which Way But Loose.
Right.
Remember Philo Beto. Yeah, Philo Beto, right? He's a fighter, but he pissed off the whole biker gang.
Right.
So the whole biker gang was coming after, like, one guy. You know, so it's like, that could be a way to, like, maybe get this guy over where you have, like, a whole gang of people. And he's a giant guy, like old Andre the Giant type stuff. You know, where you have to fight two guys. You have to fight, you know, he's a big guy. I don't know. It might be able to get him over. I don't know if he has a psychology and he's too green to understand what you have to do and things like that, you know? So, but that's what I would do. Pick one of these gangs.
I don't like that idea. Nothing.
All right. Yeah. All right.
I don't see why they couldn't make Omos champion only because, you know, you say he's still green and this and that, but they made Great Khali champion and he could barely fucking move. So,
yeah, but
that's not an excuse to make another mistake.
No, it's not a mistake.
Right.
What I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. We made it a couple of years ago. Let's do it again. Like, we learned nothing from the first time.
Brutal.
Next is from Dale Fortuna, subject is Iceman. What's up, gang? A friend of mine watching Slammery 98, and Ven, I haven't watched this that day. You know when people say this, I was watching Slamboree 98. Like I might have any clue what was in that on that show, right? I totally forgot about the Cruiserweight Battle Royal angle with Cyclope, a.k.a. Dean Malenko, winning and then facing Jericho. Dale, so did everybody else, right?
That's a pretty popular, yeah.
I could easily put this as a top 10 moment for WCW due to the pop and the angle itself. Great storytelling. During the match, Malenko does the gutbuster on his knee from the second rope, which is tremendously painful for both people. My question is, what move did you ever try to do in this, and I'm not trying this again due to risk of injury? Does Malenko ever get enough credit? Bonus, Joe, if you could find Jericho introducing participants of the Battle Royal, it would be tremendous. I did a backbreaker one time, right? And I hit, and I rolled my ankle a little bit. And I was like, I'm never doing that again.
You were given the backbreaker.
I get giving somebody a backbreaker. So a guy on my knee, and it hit my knee, and my ankle twisted a little bit, and my buckled. Mm. And I'm like, I'm never doing that again. You could literally, if that happens again, your ankle twists, whatever, you know, you could blow out your MCL or your ACL. Your knee is like, so I just never did it again. Like, I see people do, but like, I just never did that again because the one time I did it, my ankle twisted, and I could have blown my knee out. So.
You never had a knee injury, did you?
No.
Yeah.
Well, no, I did. I hyperextended, but it was only a 2-week injury. So, yeah. What about you, Conan? What did you try that you said I'll never do it again?
Oh, bro, a frog splash where I almost dislocated my shoulder.
Right. Ouch. Eddie dislocated his arm in a frog splash one time. Yeah. All right, next one.
Do you want to see this Jericho intro? It is pretty funny.
Let's see it.
I think.
Because we all forgot about it. I think Conan would dig it. Conan had forgotten about it too, right, Conan?
Pretty much.
Oh, I remember this. Where he's introducing all the guys, right?
You notice this guy's hat?
Oh, yeah, I do remember this.
Coming out first from Xochimilco, Mexico. You notice this guy's hat never comes off. He's the master of trick track, the master of defunk. He is Super Calo.
Look at those moves, ladies and gentlemen.
He's got about a 1 in 10 chance of winning, maybe. Coming up next, from El Paso, Mexico. This guy used to be a great bartender, but hasn't translated to his wrestling skills. He's the scourge of the illustrious Guerrero family. He is Chavo Guerrero Jr. Maybe a 2 out of 10 chance of winning. Coming out next, from Mexico, this is the rags to riches story. From selling chimichangas on the streets to WCW, Cinco Lope. Now we got Damien. He can't afford a mask. He's using paint. But sooner or later, he's going to buy a mask. I'm guaranteeing you that. Here we go. The winner of the Lou Ferrigno lookalike contest. This guy's also from Mexico. El Dandy. Coming out next, he's the world welter light featherweight pace champion. He is El Grillo. Now this guy pulled up in a nice rusted out 68 El Camino Chevy. He's the ugliest man in our sport today. He's the illustrious Quasi Juice Guerrero, a former champion in many countries. He's going to rock till he drops. Rock, never stop. Marty Jannetty, ladies and gentlemen.
There's Billy.
Coming up next from Allentown, PA. He is a lost and lonely soul. His name is Kidman. And Kidman, I got some calamine lotion for you after the show. This guy's the true shooter of WCW. Does he have a chance? 0 out of 10. No way. He's ever courageous, ladies and gents. Oh, yeah. Straight from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Oh, yeah. I want my Loverboy tint back, Lenny Lane. And of course, we got Psychosis. He's got a lot of hubcaps in his collection. If you need one, we'll procure you one for you after the show. This guy is Silver King. If he wins 12 more matches, he'll be upgraded to Golden King. This guy is Johnny Singer. Johnny Swinger. You ever heard of this guy? I haven't. 0 out of 10 chance of winning. No chance. And last but not least, representing the Llanos 1 through 62 from the illustrious Villano family, he is Villano 4. Ladies and gentlemen, those are your contestants in tonight's Battle Royal. I'm going to the back for a coffee because none of these guys will ever beat me for my belt.
That was entertaining.
Who the hell was El? Oh, Conan left, for God's sakes. Who was El Grillo? I was going to ask him. I didn't recognize that guy.
I didn't even recognize that guy.
If I remember correctly, he was this guy that was backstage, I think, visiting one of the wrestlers, and he was a wrestler promoter, something like that, and they just stuck him in there as an extra body.
Okay.
Where was Slamboree from?
Baltimore?
Yeah, probably Baltimore. Conan, guess what?
What up?
You know, spring has sprung, and our friends at Manscaped have the best tools for some spring cleaning. And they've already helped you tidy up all the nooks and crannies of your body's basement. But this year, Manscaped can help you get the perfect presentation on that beautiful face with the new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Now, there's a lot of neckbeards in professional wrestling, all right? So make sure you look your best this spring by using the code K100 to get 20% off, plus free shipping at manscaped.com. So for all you neckbeards out there, I know there's some, you know, there are a lot of you, but the ones that have the well-trimmed beard, it's time to tame your mane with the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. The sun is peeking back out, which means you'll have to show your face in the daylight again. That's right, you got to get out of the house. So use the kit to make sure your scruff looks award-winning, whether you've got glorious beard flow or some smooth, sleek cheeks. So the kit starts off with the Beard Hedger. It's a waterproof cordless trimmer with a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair-cutting lengths. That's 20 lengths. That's a lot, all with one guard. So no more messy drawers full of add-ons. Like, you know how you have all these guards and you have to keep them in your drawer and they're lying all over the place? You know, it's funny, too, because my cats steal the guards.
Right.
And go and play with them. Like, I'll come home and I got the guards of my my beard trimmer, Beard Hedger, are on the steps, are on my trimmers, right? Okay, so no more of that. with the Beard Hedger. It comes a titanium-coated T-blazer, tough on hair but smooth on your face, leading to single-stroke efficiency that brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. It's a high-tech piece of art, a travel-sized package with a long-lasting battery, universal charging, and a strong motor, right? So you don't have to worry about charging it all the time. And Nexikit is the liquid goods that make you feel good, starting with the beard shampoo and conditioner. You gotta have that. You can't treat your beard like you treat your pubes. That's why the kit is a special shampoo and conditioner, specially designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, it's very key, and replenish your beard's natural oils and promote beard health. It also has this the Manscaped Beard Oil. And the nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath while adding a little shimmer and shine to liven up the look. And then it has the Beard Balm. And it's a pomade that shapes, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oil. So it's got like a, you know, like a gel for your beard. It's awesome. So not to mention the Beard Hedger Pro Beard Kit also comes with three free gifts. A beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So if you have a beard, or if you want to grow a beard, you got to use this. It's the Beard Hedger. And you can save 20% off for free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off for free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's M-A-N-S-C-A-P-E-D.com. Focus on the face and use the Beard Hedger Pro Kit for the cleanest look in the game. And if you want to start a beard, you have to get this product.
This is incredible. If you haven't purchased this yet, you'll be happy you did when you do. So get all your grooming needs at manscaped.com. Boom.
It's a hell of a deal.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
It's okay if you aren't ready for kids right now. It's okay if you don't want to be a mom now or even ever. It's nobody's decision but yours. But do you know what's not okay? Not knowing how effective your birth control is. Talk to your doctor about effective birth control options so you can make an informed decision. Tap to learn more.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When things feel a bit chaotic, Instacart helps deliver milk and sausage. Add a little life to your cart. Get stuff from literally all your stores, from baby wipes to albacore. Add a little life to your cart. Instacart helps get your groceries. Your first three deliveries are free.
Download Instacart. Add life to cart. Terms apply.
So this one's from Stuart. Subject is the School of Disco.
Worcester, Mass. Sorry.
Okay. All right. School of Disco. Hi, K100 crew. I tried asking my wife, who is a teacher, but she was just responded with, who? So I'll ask Cody and Joe instead. On a scale of 1 to 10, How stupid is the Disco Inferno's idea of making school children listen to its amazing music from a bygone era? And he lists Milli Vanilli, Boy George, Tiffany, etc. All right. By the way, good choice given the person with the most impeccable comedic timing, the ability to play sound effects throughout the show. Cheers, Stuart. Well, we're going to suspend Stuart. Yeah, we're going to suspend Stuart because that's, first of all, it's misinformation. I think that kids should grow and listen to Led Zeppelin and U2 and stuff and everything, not Milli Vanilli, Boy George, and Tiffany. So we're going to suspend Stuart for a week. Also for saying that you have impeccable comedic timing, Joe, which you do not.
I'm sorry. Right. Yeah. Well, get the hell out of here, Stuart. You're Joe, suspended.
Cody, would you say agree that Joe has impeccable comedic timing?
Well, he's got a real Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle, quick, witty,
Bill Burr. Right,
yeah,
Bill
right,
Burr.
Right, right. Yeah, this guy, whoever wrote this, what was his name?
Stuart.
Stuart.
He must be on fentanyl.
Yeah. This is for Stuart right here.
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
Huh? That's funny.
Next one's from Isidro Ramirez. Subject is jail. Hello. Due to the subject of my letter, I'll use an alias. You can call me Bill Ding. This is my first letter ever. Longtime listener going on 4 years now. I recently completed a six-month sentence in the regional jail. Want to mention how pro wrestling was reacted to in jail. It's interesting. While WWE has their small collection of fans due to lifelong fans, the pageantry, the sets, and the women, AEW is looked at like a laughing joke, worse than a laughing joke. If you were caught watching AEW, you'd be robbed mercilessly and probably be labeled a geek, nerd, and someone men could walk all over. In an all-male alpha setting like jail, where the strong survive and the weak get their asses kicked or worse, AEW is labeled fake, cartoonery, lame, and did nothing to draw on viewers, where we had literally nothing to do besides read, work out, or watch TV. One instance in particular I'd like to point out. AEW remained stuck on a TV before TNT NBA All-Star Weekend, and when the opening match consists of a six-man tag where they played with basketballs throughout the match, it came off as so pandering and cringeworthy. I had to visibly and openly subject pro wrestling to insults along with my co-watchers. People ask why AEW wrestling as a whole doesn't grow in viewers, and I can honestly answer over 21 alpha males are not watching wrestling, have no intention of watching wrestling, and wrestling that is on TV is no way of pulling them back in compared to the Attitude Era of the late 1990s. Sorry for the long-winded commentary, but I just feel like this is strong commentary of the business of how casual male viewers view the product. I would not, Isidro Ramirez, I'd like to know what you were in jail for, but I would not qualify people that committed crimes as casual male viewers in that category. Would you agree with that, Conan? People that commit crimes and go to jail, would you put them in the demographic of a casual male viewer?
I don't know. Maybe they do watch a lot of TV shit.
I'm kind of interested in that. If we have any other ex-con listeners, you know, were you watching wrestling in jail, and who was over, who wasn't, what shows did they actually
put on? Well, WWE back in the 90s had to be over. The WWE, the 1990s, the late 90s, the wrestling had to be over huge
in
jail.
And WCW too, yeah, for sure.
I bet you had guys, factions thinking like they were the NWO and stuff and everything in jail, right?
Yeah. WCW was huge in college dorms. On a dude floor, everyone would have it on.
Of course, they would have nitro parties.
Yeah.
So it was like a party.
Cedro, basically, number one, I like the fact that you went into jail for 6 months, and when you came out, you were still listening to the show. Or were you listening to the show in the pen?
That'd be awesome.
Let me know if that's possible.
Let me know what you're thinking,
Yeah, and here's the other thing. AEW is not a show for alpha males, bro. UFC is. Right. You know, and probably football. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you just look in the crowd at AEW, and it's not, there's like not,
yeah.
It's just kind of like people that are.
That's for like kind of nerds.
Antisocial. Right. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Which is odd because some of the stuff they do is hard hitting, and there's a lot of blood. You'd think the blood would draw in more, like alpha males would watch it.
But they know it's, but bro, it's 2023.
And they know the blood's not real.
Yeah, they know they're slicing themselves and shit. Right. So
yeah, right.
Next is from Hank Beanie, and the subject is Mexico woes. Hey guys, last month the San Francisco Giants and San Diego Padres played two games in Mexico City. Pitcher Logan Webb reported that 75% of the Giants roster was stricken with quote unquote the shits during the trip.
Hey,
you often hear about cases of travelers' diarrhea in Mexico. Conan, with all the foreign talent you're bringing to AAA, is this something you have to deal with? Also, have you ever heard of a wrestler shitting themselves during a match? I gotta believe that brings a whole new meaning to getting color. Nothing? And that's from Handsome Hank.
You know what? Yeah, something here. no, not really. You just stay away from street vendors that don't look like cleanliness is their main concern, right. You know, and, you know, you drink bottled water from like you get water from the hotel. Because, bro, I won't eat at like those vegetable stations you see at Whole Foods where they have like pre-made food laying there. You know what I'm saying?
Before. Yeah.
Well, there's a reason in this country. I don't know if they do it in Mexico. You go into a restaurant and you can literally see how clean the restaurant is because they have to put up their ranking out of 1 to 100 on how clean the place was when the health people came by.
Yeah. And usually you go, like,
You do that there, but you could pay off people. Max, that's the thing. Yeah. You know, right. You just got to literally look in the kitchen and look around. And if you're so hungry that you don't give a fuck about, you know, people putting their hands in your food or whatever the fuck the deal might be, not wearing gloves or hair nets or whatever.
Well,
it's on you.
I will say this too, but in Mexico's defense in this case, okay, when I go eat Mexican food, right, and like I go to like a classical Mexican place, you know, where the Mexicans eat Mexican food and where Americans eat Mexican food are two completely different things. If you go to a restaurant, you see a lot of Americans eating the Mexican food as opposed to like right. the mom and pop place. Bro, the level of like when you talk about hot sauce – and the ones where the Mexicans eating like a level 5 is a level 10 to the regular regular right. American. Like it says, so like I could actually see them going to Mexico where like the salsa is spicier and hotter yeah. and it does upset your stomach more if you're not expecting if you don't want like super spicy. That will upset your stomach more. That maybe isn't like from rotten food or something, but like when I eat Mexican food, and I get right. Any type of like when I have a meal and it's really spicy, I get upset stomach. My stomach's not used to like that level of spicy. When I always go, I just try to get like a Asian places like level 3 or 4.
Just when you go to the Mexican place, go if you're gonna put any sauce, make it mild. That's
right.
It.
Right. Yeah. Because it's still gonna be probably medium. Because
yeah, I remember the very first time I ate a pepper. Uh-huh. Like those habanero peppers right. in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Bro, my lips were quivering and I couldn't stop it. Yeah. That's how hot it was. Yeah.
And the Mexicans, they're just used to it. You know, so
yeah, they're like, they were laughing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So next is from Harrison Yanger and the subject is Jade Cargill. On a recent episode of the show, Jim Cornette said the AEW are actually harming Jade Cargill by giving her this undefeated gimmick. He says it's made her matches extremely predictable and missable. Plus, he mentioned that her wrestling so rarely is doing more damage than good in the long run. I actually listened to this clip by Cornette, by the way. We can speak on this. What I'd like to know from K100 is, what do you guys think is her future with AEW? She's hotter than hell, but she's had the exact same angle gimmick in AEW for like 3 to 4 years now. Do you think her stay in AEW is harming her? Cornette made a good point. She's been around for what now, 3 years? And like the only matches she's had are the matches she's had in AEW, and she's 55-0. Like she's only had 55 matches in like three years.
3 years. Yeah.
That's not a lot at all. You know, I mean, maybe that's why she is still green. You know, over the course of 1,000 days and you've only had 55 matches, that's, I mean, would you kind of agree with that, right, Conan?
Yeah. And yeah, I don't think that undefeated thing is helping her at all. She should be a way bigger star. I've never really seen her in a feud.
Right.
Was she the one that slapped Shaq or was it Brandy?
Brandy.
Okay. But I've seen her do nothing with Soraya, with Ruby Soho, with Storm, with Britt Baker. Taya's the only one, and Taya kind of looked dumb on that finish, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Where, I forgot I can't put my finish on her, and then she rolled me up.
Yeah.
That was brutal. And it's almost like – I almost feel like their thinking is, let's put the belt on her because with that look, she's money. Yeah, but now that money look is 3 years old. It's not new anymore. You got to do something with it or it will get stale like what is happening. That's what I feel.
Yeah. To me, it's very, very stale.
You know? Next is from Les Geisman. The subject is Taya Dunn already. By the way, Cornette talked about this too. Right. WWE made a huge mistake releasing Taya Valkyrie and then not re-signing her to deal. So when AEW was able to sign her up, I thought this is going to be really cool. She's a great wrestler. And let's be honest, she's hot. Tony Khan brought her into feud with Jade Cargill, which seemed like it was going to be pretty good, and oh my, it was an effing car crash. Knowing they gave the match away for free on TV instead of saving it for pay-per-view, they worked a shitty match and made Taya look really bad with the finish. Am I reaching saying that AEW may have ruined Taya already? What do you guys think? That 911 joke that Billy made on Twitter about Zelina Vegas' dad was low class, even for a guy who lives in his mommy's spirit and stalks famous people. We're not going to repeat that tweet, by the way. I'm not giving that tweet any credit on the show. It's ridiculous. It's so stupid.
It's just not a first for him. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, which is what I didn't follow him a lot, so I didn't realize all this. So WWE made a – so I'll say this. That match was definitely a Styles clash. But, bro, Taya's match against Jay George was better than that. Was better than this match, but Jake way better, right? So you know what I'm saying? So it's like, so I don't know if like, you know, like they said, they like
she's
we said,
still
they
green,
were, right, exactly.
She's still green, and in all her matches, she does 3 to 5 moves, maybe tops, and that's
right.
You know.
And but if you want to see Conan and Disco review Jay George versus Taya Valkyrie with Jay George on the panel, it's on Patreon video version, obviously, so you can see the match too. Yeah. And I would suggest to you guys that we could and should make that an option on Patreon. If you're an indie guy and you want these guys to critique your match, you know, come on and join the $25 tier or whatever. You know, as long as it's not a 45-minute match.
All right. So next is, this is an interesting one. I want to talk about this because I think I've got the right take again, like I always do, almost. Yeah. From Great Greatness, and except it's All In versus SummerSlam. The success that AEW's had with All In is crazy. 60,000-plus tickets sold at a time when, in my opinion, AEW TV has never been worse. The fact that AEW can do that while WWE at the same time sold out SummerSlam in 24 hours is a very good sign for the state of the wrestling business. Question is, why is the WWE ticket sales getting more coverage? Meltzer mentioned in passing comment that WWE sold their stadium show out and new seats have had to be added, yet AEW is the one that gets all the coverage. This is true, too, by the way. Shouldn't both be getting props? I would love to hear K100 discuss this, and I'm not going to read the last comment. All right, so let me say this. I was on – I think I said on this show, what we talked about, Joel, how many tickets – when they announced Wembley, what was my prediction of how many people they would have?
I think you said 60 or 70.
50 to 60,000 people, right? That was my prediction, and that's just based on basic metrics. They're the number one watched show, wrestling show in the UK because it's on free TV. Okay, they get more viewers than WWE does in the UK because WWE is on a pay station. All right, so they do like I think they do like 250,000 fans, which is like, you know, it's not a lot in the thing, but it's still wrestling. But the UK fan base, as we have seen, is very passionate, and like it's the first show they've done in 3 years. It's where, you know, it's that what culture community, you know, that like they've got the same nerdy fan base there that we have here with the AEW fans. It's the same fan base. And they're, and I said like that those type of fans, the AEW fans, will travel to go see the product. And this is like a big event. It's at Wembley. And I told Vince Russo, I said, bro, I would not be surprised if like they sell a lot of tickets. And like it eventually does like 90,000 or something. I mean, that's just on the metrics. So I know the way the wrestling, these type of wrestling fans are. They'll go out of their way to support the project and the product. And what we've seen from wrestling fans today, bro, that's all these people like is wrestling. Like the typical wrestling fan will watch 9 to 15 hours of wrestling a week, buy the shirts, buy the, like, what's the word we use, Joe? They're completists.
Yeah.
Right. They'll buy the whole collection. Sure. They'll buy the dolls still.
The video game.
So that number, like people are saying, oh, that's only going to do like 30,000. Like, no way. Like, that's going to do a very good number. But what is going to happen, that show is going to be a spectacle of like just like all these nerdy wrestling fans all in one place at one time in mass. And you're going to look at that crowd. And it's going to be a bunch of white, you know, young adults in black t-shirts, don't look very attractive, probably hardly any girls are going to be there, and it's just going to showcase that, like, this is what they draw. You know, like this is their fans. Would you agree with what I just said, Conan?
What part?
Like, just like the type of fans they're going to draw. They probably will draw 60, 70, probably draw, do more than, but here's the thing,
My point was is that we've seen the massive numbers that UFC and boxing has done in England, right? And one of the advantages that you have is England is a small country. I don't even think it has 80 million people.
It's not a far drive for these people to go to the show.
Everybody can drive from within England, from Scotland, from Ireland. Bro, you could take that fucking channel from France to England. It's like 2 hours because I took it myself.
Yeah.
So you've got all of Europe can come to London and watch this big fucking event that only comes maybe once a year.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
And they like wrestling.
Right. I'd agree. And plus, too, the one thing that, and bro, you see the wrestling media guys, you know, this is like, oh, this is unbelievable. Like, bro, this is fine, but like, this shows you what we've said about professional wrestling for the past like 3-4 years. It's a big show business. Mm-hmm. Big people are attracted to the big shows, which is why the weekly TVs are not drawing good. It's like the weekly TVs are not a big deal anymore. These things like this are a big deal. Wembley, big, you know, All In at that Chicago State, you know, whatever. Like the big shows are their only, yeah, like
Rumble,
the only
Mania, metric. SummerSlam,
and WWE, yeah, the pay per views.
Yeah,
the big shows.
They're gonna be able to bring in a lot of stars because they have a lot of stars on their roster.
I don't. Why do that though? You're already selling the tickets.
And bring in, well, but you got to give the people something,
right? Yeah, and they're going to want to have an impressive show too, you know.
And then, yeah, what are you going to bring in? Fucking Best Friends. So you want to bring in? Wait, and then you've also got a couple. You know, you got Hayter, Soraya, and Toni Storm, who are all from England.
Toni Storm, I thought, is Australian, isn't she?
She's Australian. Yeah, she's Australian.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, my bad. Yeah, yeah. Okay. But I think she wrestled in England. Am I correct?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
She wrestled there. So they consider her from there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they're coming home to a big homecoming. Are there any British guys on the thing, Joe?
Nick Aldis is out there. Zack Sabre Jr. He's worked with AEW.
No,
right?
But Nick Aldis is an Impact, right?
Oh, yeah. So I guess he can't. Right. Will Ospreay's English, right?
Bro, did you see it? Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't Meltzer trying to push for Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay to main event this thing?
I saw a tweet about that. Yeah,
I haven't seen it. I mean, let me ask you a question on this guy's letter. Is he basically alluding to Disco? And you would probably know this more than me and Joe, that there's a Meltzer wrestling bias against WWE.
Oh, 100%
wrestling. Yeah.
No, they're very pro. Okay. I don't know if it's a bias against WWE. It's a very pro AEW bias.
Yeah, at the same time. Yeah. WWE selling out the stadium for SummerSlam. Yeah, that's big. Well, but this company that's only 3 years old selling out Wembley in a foreign country, that's a bigger story to me anyways, you know?
Let me just say this. They don't need the rest of media to tout their success because the rest of the world and their numbers will do it for them. Because I remember when I first got to Mexico, listen to this, Disco. Yeah. Back then, you had to pay for them to do an interview for you in a magazine, like in a newspaper. Right? Especially mainstream. And I was trying to break into the mainstream, right?
Yeah.
So they would always tell me that I would have to pay because that was their MO for years. That's just, it was kind of like payola and radio was an accepted thing. And I always used to say, I'm not paying for shit. I'm going to make my own news and sooner or later you will cover it. And I was right. WWE doesn't need the wrestling media to tout their success.
Right. They're in an adversarial relationship with them, actually.
Right.
Okay, let me read you this. This is actually pretty funny. So is there a bias? Okay, I'm going to read you. I just get Wrestling Observer Radio, okay, on YouTube. And these are the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the first 11 videos, right? I'm going to read you the titles of the videos, okay? The rules don't apply to Brock Lesnar. It's the title of one of them. Things like this weren't happening when Vince McMahon was gone. Okay, these are titles of the videos, right?
Nice.
Brock's Bloody Rules. This World Heavyweight Title Tournament is a mess. Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest is all you could have asked for. Cody Rhodes continues the story of WWE Backlash. Cody lost. AEW took a gamble with All In, and it paid off. All In London is shattering pro wrestling records. So that's just the first, like, those are like 10 videos. And like you could... How many of those were kind of like negative? The percentage of the videos about WWE were negative, would you say?
Yeah, half of them.
All but one. So I don't know. But honestly, I think that's their. I think Dave knows that's his audience too. Him and Brian, like, this is what they talk about.
But I think everybody's their audience, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, I just. I'm sure he has friends there, but I think I've known Dave long enough to know that he doesn't roll like that. But people change. I don't know. I don't read enough of him to make a educated, intelligent,
right.
Right.
You don't listen to him enough to realize, right, Kate.
Right. I don't really read him enough. I don't. I know him as a person.
What I do with Dave is I'll.
Yeah.
I don't follow him right on Twitter, but I'll click him on like once a week. And like see like the past like 2 or 3 days of posts of what he's talking about.
Right, you know, right. I do that too. I go to his online thing.
Right, and then he is kind of, you could tell he likes AEW a lot, you know. So, So next one's from Danny Trouble. The subject is mistake. One of the main accusations that Chris Jericho's haters have for him is that in AEW, if anyone has any form of buzz going, he gets himself put into a storyline with them and pretty much kills off any buzz he had and just sits them back to square one. Ricky Starks is a perfect example of this. It is leaked out that Chris Jericho and CM Punk have had meetings, conversations, are now back on good terms and willing to do business together. Question is this really a good idea? I know that Jericho is a real-life buddy of you guys, but the fact is, he's simply not the star that he once was. People aren't watching him anymore, so the idea of CM Punk coming back and his first feud is with the guy the fans aren't even into is a kind of dud, no? I would love to know what the K100 team thinks of this possible CM Punk versus Chris Jericho storyline. And Billy Body, we all know you're listening. You got your lockpicking Patreon shut down because you were giving out fake tips, then checking your spreadsheets to try to cover your ass. You got caught out trying to F people out of their money, so F you, wrestling stalker. I would disagree
with that. Danny Trouble. Good Lord.
That's not true, though. I don't know why he got his Patreon team, but that's not what it's for.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
It's okay if you aren't ready for kids right now. It's okay if you don't want to be a mom now or even ever. It's nobody's decision but yours. But do you know what's not okay? Not knowing how effective your birth control is. Talk to your doctor about effective birth control options so you can make an informed decision. Tap to learn more.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'll say this. First of all, this criticism of Ricky Starks being a perfect example of this, bro, Chris Jericho, when Ricky Starks gets out of the Chris Jericho feud, Chris Jericho has nothing to do with that. That's Tony Khan booking Ricky Starks with Juice Robinson and what's Jay White? That has nothing to do with anything Chris Jericho had. So that's not Jericho's fault. Bro, Ricky Starks should have gone up the roster.
Right.
But he's not. That's nothing to do with Chris Jericho. He beat Chris Jericho and he should have moved up the card. Now he beat Chris Jericho and he's moved down the card. And that's not that's somebody else booking him. But I mean, would you agree with that, Conan?
Yeah, and the guy's complaining that, you know, that when anybody has a buzz going, he inserts himself into the storyline. That's kind of smart, you know. Right. Don't hate the player, hate the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And
like, look, who's going to give you a rub in that company?
Right. And look, if you're a listener, you would know by now that whether it's Mysterio or Chris or Jericho, our friendship doesn't tarnish our criticism if he does something we ain't feeling, but they all know it's all love because we don't do it out of, you know, malice aforethought. I love that term.
Very simple question to ask you.
Yeah.
If you're looking to get a rub and you're looking at that card, rank the people that you would want to get the rub from starting at the top. Who would be the first guy that would give you a rub?
MJF.
Are you sure?
Jericho, Moxley.
Jericho, Moxley, based on their history in this business, Brian. Where they've been and how popular they've gotten. I mean, Daniel Bryan, right?
Bro, look how much time they give MJF compared to everybody else. That's the right. guy I would want to be getting a rub from.
Right.
Also, just also remember, bro, this is how fickle people are and how they'll turn on a dime. 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever it was, people were dick riding Jericho on the bubbly and Le Champion and all the stuff that he was doing
in New Japan. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then coming out, singing his music.
Demo God.
Right. Now, you know, they did the same thing to Cody. They were riding his fucking nuts. And then all of a sudden they didn't like him, you know. So fuck people a lot of times. But he's done so much, it's ridiculous. His work ethic is second to none. I give him his flowers because he stayed relevant for 30 fucking years.
Yeah,
is everything going to be great? Of course not. But when he needs to, he pulls out a good promo. When he needs to, he pulls out a good match. Maybe he's slowing down. I don't know. But he has a mega ridiculous schedule with Fozzy, the wrestling, producing shit backstage, his fucking podcast.
Yeah.
He's always doing something. He's always got something going on,
writing
bro.
Books. And he's also got
give
some kind of
motherfucker
graphic
You know what he reminds me of? Disco. You don't see this that much anymore. Remember in the old days on TV, they'd bring in the Chinese circus and the motherfucker would be spinning one plate on a fucking stick and then he'd be spinning like two. And then by the end, he'd be spinning like 10 fucking plates. That's Chris Jericho, you know.
I've been saying since Punk returned that I wanted to see Jericho and Punk go head to head on the mic. And I've been saying that for weeks now since Punk's return has been rumored. So I'm not on that team where people don't want to see that. I want to see that. And that has nothing to do with me being a three-time Talk is Jericho guest at all, I swear.
Next is from Johnny Casher on the subject of Dana White's booking. Hey, fellas, this past Saturday, Canelo's performance outshined a pretty weak UFC event. At the end of the main event, Sugar Shane O'Malley came into the ring to face off versus Aljamain Sterling. I don't know about you guys, but I have zero interest in that fight. O'Malley should have lost that Yan fight, and everyone else that he has faced in the top 10 he has lost to or been DQ'd for. So my question is, what do you think of Dana White's booking as of late? He let John Jones take multiple years off. He released one of the most exciting fighters in promotion's history in Francis Ngannou. He's having exciting fighters like Robert Whittaker, Gaethje, and Chimaev just sit at home or face complete scrubs. Do you think it is time for Dana to hang it up and let someone else take the reins? And that's from Johnny Castro. I mean, I've been critical of Dana White's matchmaking lately, too. You know, but I mean, what are you going to do? Like, you got to understand that he's dealing with a lot of guys that don't want fights against certain guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it should be very simple to make some of these fights. But a lot of these guys say no, you know. Sugar Shane O'Malley, Sean O'Malley, him and Aljamain, bro, that's good mic work before the fight. They're both very charismatic guys. They can sell a fight. I like it. Sugar Sean's got fans, you know. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm looking at their top 10 pound-for-pound rankings, and the only performer in there that I'm really interested in seeing is Makhachev. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let me just say that. This guy said that the UFC event was weak. On paper, it wasn't weak. The Burns Muhammad was kind of boring because people even booed it.
Well,
the main event
blew his shoulder out, so he couldn't fight.
Right, yeah. He also blew his shoulder out. But the main event, I was into not a lot of action, but enough, you know. Mm-hmm. And bro, here's the thing: Sugar's a star. He has a huge following. He can talk. He's charismatic, and it isn't about who's the most skilled anymore. Because like Joe just said, he read the top 10 pound per pound. He's only interested in one guy. It's who will the people pay to see? Okay. And a lot of people will pay to see Sugar against Aljamain because it's going to be a lot of shit being talked, you know, and they're going to bring it, you know. A lot of great fighters are mundane. They don't have a personality, so people don't want to see him. I don't know what problems there were with Ngannou. I don't know if the problems were from Dana's side or from Ngannou's side, because from Dana's always shown to me to have kind of that Vince McMahon mentality. Let's do what it takes to make it work no matter what, you know? So who knows what happened in those negotiations. And the other guys you mentioned that they're not doing anything with, Gaethje and Whittaker and Chimaev, and I don't know who the other guy was. Bro, they know in UFC those guys are money, and they'll do something with them.
Next is from Forrester Grillo, and the subject is Bad Bunny versus Logan Paul. With Bad Bunny just killing it at Backlash and Logan Paul's exceptional match quality and bringing younger new audiences to WWE, have to ask K100, which is so much better now that Billy isn't here, what do you guys think of the chance of WWE ever doing a Bad Bunny versus Logan Paul match? It may drive the IWC nuts, but for the sheer level of publicity and media coverage, I would love to see it. What do you guys think? Well, just based on the way those guys perform and the way the producers are producing these guys, they could absolutely have that match. And that match would main event a pay-per-view, too. And that match would probably draw a lot of outside fans, you know? Well, what do you think?
Yes, I think that match would be incredible. The hype would be incredible. The buildup, everything would be incredible. The buzz, yeah, that's a great match to make.
Yeah. Next is from Jonathan Wood.
And it's almost perfect in a way, because Logan is a heel and Bad is the hip is a face.
You know, I'm surprised they haven't brought back Rob Gronkowski.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done. He's charismatic, and it's like, you know, I don't know. It's like, you know, I wonder. I don't know.
Next, I love that clip where he was going to do a bump off the thing or a splash or whatever.
Right.
And in rehearsal, he's like, oh, you know, I don't know if I'm going to do that. And Vince just went up there and just fell backwards onto it and said, see, nothing to it.
Next is from Jonathan Wood. The subject is WWE Mexico. Hey, Conan Disco, and to a lesser extent, Joe. After the tremendous success that WWE has been having with PLEs and splits and spits outside the U.S., what does that mean? What's a PLE? I was wondering your thoughts on the viability of a PLE at Estado. Look that up, Joe. What is PLE?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
PLE meaning. PLE WWE. What does PLA mean? WWE means.
Look up sports.
Premium live event.
Okay.
Premium live event. Okay. Yeah. A premium live event in Estadio Azteca. Do you think this would be a success, or would it not draw the crowd to make it look full financially successful? Also, with all the local legends that WWE use in Puerto Rico and the UK, would WWE be able to use AAA workers for a run-in? There's an exclusivity deal with AEW. Also, Disco, I had a question a fortnight back about Doug Gilbert that I think he missed a point of, and I instead just called me a mark. The main thing I was asking was, either of you been in a locker room when someone went into business for themselves and shoot, accused another worker of a felony like child rape, as was the case with Gilbert? Lawler wasn't in the building, but if he accused a worker, it seems like that might lead to fisticuffs. It never happened. Okay, of course not.
Well, the time that Scott Steiner called out DDP and it was unscripted, and they did get into a fight, right?
But that was on TV. This is in the locker room. Thanks again for the content. Hopefully there's some hot new segment down the road with whoever might be available. Speaking of which, can we expect a new episode of Get My Go concerning Billy? Hope you guys are doing well. That's from John Wood. But what, Joe, you don't do Get My Go anymore, do you?
None of us really know what's going on, but Mike Durbin has been noted as saying it's on an indefinite hiatus, whatever that means. So,
what do you think about that, Conan?
It's best for the show and best for the listeners.
Is it best for the world?
It really is, because it was affecting people's capacity to learn and reproduce.
Joe, go tweet that Get My Go is on hiatus and see if Elon Musk likes the tweet.
Yeah. Okay.
Conan, would the show do good there?
What?
WWE show to Estado Azteca.
Yeah, if they... the right angle, and they'd have to use some Mexican talent. They could probably maybe sell it out. That's 100,000 people.
And they would, you could do the run-ins like they did with the Puerto Rico stuff.
Yeah.
Like the time. Right. Yeah. You could actually absolutely do that. Right. Yeah. Who would main event? Bro, would Dominic versus Rey Mysterio rematch main event would sell out that stadium?
Well, obviously the whole card that alone isn't going to do it. You just have to have a strong card and they have enough people to do it.
Right.
Maybe bring in a Bad Bunny or a Logan Paul, or you know what I'm saying? All hands on deck, bro. Like if you were going to Saudi Arabia.
This is a dumb question from Joshua Johnson.
I was going to say, D.I., I questioned Ford in this because the answer is clearly no.
Right. Okay. We're going to suspend the guy for a stupid question.
Yeah.
Hello, K100 crew. With the recent Hollywood writer's strike going on right now, do you think that the writer's strike will affect the current WWE storylines, or is it going to be just business as usual, even though the WWE writers are not part of the guild? Thank you.
Well, you're answering your own question.
Let's suspend the guy for stupid question, okay? Of course it won't. They're not part of the guild. They're not on strike.
Right. Yeah, Nick Khan said that himself.
He's right.
He answered his own question.
Yeah. Bro, let me make a great point, okay? That writer's strike, all right? And that's and the thing, bro, that's one of the reasons you can't unionize professional wrestling. If the show, bro, it's like the show won't go on.
Right.
Good. If they don't meet their demands, why should it? You know, that's the take. Basically, it was against corporations getting too much power and doing whatever they want like they do now. Bro, we don't have a pension. We don't have a pension. We didn't get overtime. We didn't get workman's comp. We didn't get a lot of shit.
Right.
That's what it's easy to get rich when you fucking, you know, take advantage of people's fucking rights. But anyways, that's why
the people that are working, they got rich too. So I'm, you know, I would. That'd not be my everybody. Devil's advocate. Well, a lot of guys did, you know.
Yeah, Nexus or Fall. Remember this. This is a tip for you 1099ers, independent contractors. If you do work over 8 hours a day or 40 hours a week, no matter if you're an independent contractor or not, they owe you time and a half. It's the law. You can get it.
Yeah. Next one, Fall Vampire. And the subject is Jericho equals Troll King. A few days ago, it was announced that AEW's announced 60,000 tickets for All In 2023. I'm writing this on May 7th. By the way, they say 60,000 tickets have been sold. All right? Now, obviously, a lot of those have been sold to the secondary markets, and now they're reselling the tickets.
Right.
All right? That does not mean, you know, if they had the show tomorrow, there'd be 60,000 people in there. That means, like, they've sold the tickets now. StubHub or whatever, all these other things. Now that they're trying to sell the tickets now, but
it's
obviously
usually a barometer that you're going to have a good but, house, yeah.
But I will say that this constant thing, you know, the seats are not filled yet, all right? Right. But they will be over the course of the next 2 months as people buy them, right? Okay. Yeah, the tickets. Let's make that clear. The tickets have been sold. The seats have not been filled. All right.
Yeah.
Right on cue, Chris Jericho released a video on social media taking full credit for the ticket sales.
Good for him.
Now we all know that Jericho doesn't generally think that he's the sole reason for this huge event, but do you think that he, quite brilliantly, made this video to simply troll all the critics, people like Cornette and Dutch Mantel, saying that Jericho isn't a draw anymore? Or maybe could Jericho really think that he's the draw? Billy Body is now claiming to have AEW insiders feeding him news. Of course they would. Why wouldn't he get more sources once he gets kicked off K100? He's such a lying asshole. I don't know. I don't listen to his.
I don't imagine Billy has any AEW sources. AEW is not like Billy.
I listen to Billy's his soccer podcast still. He's still very good at that. Mm-hmm. What was I going to say here? Why don't you do this show while we're recording the show?
Sure.
Let's get a comment from Chris Jericho on that. So text him and see if he wants to comment on does he genuinely think that he's the sole reason for this huge event, or he made this video simply to troll all the critics? Okay. All
right.
And let's get a comment. All right.
All right.
Next is from Adrian M. And the subject is another question that may make it to the mailbag. Been a while since I wrote an email. Question. Besides Punk and the Elite possibly being able to draw ratings for AEW if they booked off their prior heat, if the Elite could get their panties out of their ass, are there any other angles in that company that you guys feel could possibly draw ratings? I don't see many wrestlers or angles that could draw on many viewers. Hard to watch AEW, and I'm glad you guys do so I don't have to. Your thoughts, P.S., and I do think SmackDown is way better than Slash Raw. Day one listener and who? Patreon member, Adrian Methos McKinney. Bro, let me tell you something. I'm very, extremely disappointed, okay, that, like this podcast is like the only people calling out how ridiculous it is that they're going to bring Punk back and they're not going to deliver this angle. That they're literally going to split these guys so they don't have to work with each other. And maybe they're swerving us. Because maybe Punk versus Kenny Omega could main event Wembley. You know, this is a storyline that will get you viewers. It's real shit. Everybody knows what happened. Even people in the WWE knows what happened. WWE fans might be interested in watching an angle like this play out on AEW's television. They could pull some of their fans. It's just fascinating to me that we're just like, well, they're coming back, but they're not going to wrestle each other. We're going to have a new new show just to satisfy these guys coming back that don't want to work with each other. Come on, that's ridiculous. I mean, seriously, Conan, let's go over this again for people that are listening to the show for the first time. How would you deal with this case as the booker of AAA? These guys had a fight. We had to send Dorian had to send Punk home. Dorian has come to you and said, you know what, Conan, I want to make some money off this. I'm paying these guys a lot of money. All right, I think I saw the numbers collectively per year. All right, these guys are collectively between the four of them making $12 million. I'm paying them $12 million combined. I want to make some money back off of this. Conan, we'll try to make this work. What are you going to tell these guys?
Yeah, I would just basically tell them, I think we're all in here to make money. We're past the, being a marks for ourselves. And are you here to make money or not? You know, can we fix this or not? And who else are you going to make this type of money with? How much merchandise will you be able to sell off of this? You know, this is going to raise your stock. I mean, wherever you look at it, this is something that needs to happen and you need to put your differences aside. And if you can't, then we can't work together.
Yeah. Next is
it sends a sign to the other wrestlers that they can't get away with that. Because right. Once you do it, now you've opened up a fucking whole fucking, you know, you rattled a hornet's nest and everybody's going to say, well, they did it. I don't want to be on the show with this guy and I don't want to wrestle this guy. And now you've lost command of everything, you know?
Yep. Yeah. And those guys are three of the executive VPs. They need to understand that, you know? I don't know.
We got a response from Chris Jericho. This is, of course, breaking news. I asked him, from your video comments, do you really feel you're responsible for the 60,000 tickets sold for Wembley, or are you just trolling your critics? And Chris Jericho's official response is, I'm pretty sure I'm responsible for at least 12,975 of them. So he's taking credit for like almost a fifth. Quarter.
I think he's underestimating himself. I'll give him 25.
Go 30.
It's okay if you aren't ready for kids right now. It's okay if you don't want to be a mom now or even ever. It's nobody's decision but yours. But do you know what's not okay? Not knowing how effective your birth control is. Talk to your doctor about effective birth control options so you can make an informed decision. Tap to learn more.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.